You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Turning back to coverage of the crisis at Michigan State University, an ESPN report over the weekend reveals a longtime pattern of denial, lack of action, and allegations of incidents involving Spartan football and basketball players. And all of that is resulting in tough questions for coaches Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo, such as this moment for Izzo at the post-game press conference yesterday, as he was questioned about why former player and student coach Travis Walton was allowed to stay on the job after being accused of punching a woman in the face, and then followed by a separate accusation of being connected to a gang rape.
We want to give you every opportunity to answer your questions. There's a lot of questions. A big one is, why did Travis leave the program in 2010?
I don't know what you mean. He graduated.
He was with your staff throughout 2010. An allegation came forward later that year that from a woman and her family to the athletic department that he and two of your players raped her. He then left the program later that year in 2010. Why?
To be honest with you, I don't remember why he left. I went to Europe to play, and as you know, I'll still say I'll cooperate with any investigation that's made. I did it then, I did it before, and I'm not going to answer any questions that aren't pertaining to either basketball or things that I am not going to talk about right now.
Michigan Radio's sports commentator John U. Bacon is here now, and post-game press conferences are not going to be the same for Coach Izzo. What do you think of the way he's handling these questions, as well as Coach D'Antonio's statement Friday night?
Well, D'Antonio's got the advantage of not being in season, so therefore he's more prepared for these, and he was clearly ready for his statement. Coach Izzo, of course, is going to coach two games a week, and after each one of them, you don't know who's going to be waiting for you. And he was not ready, clearly. And he needs to be, because these questions are going to come up, and they should come up, frankly.
Now, the tones that they took with their statements were very, very different. I'm thinking of the Friday night juxtaposition. Did that surprise you?
No, and that will actually serve Izzo better than D'Antonio, in my opinion. D'Antonio is circling the wagons. He's being very defiant. I think D'Antonio is in a much more vulnerable position than Izzo is. Neither one is on rock solid ice. I wouldn't say that. There are serious questions to be answered about serious situations.
What did you not hear in those statements?
Concern for the victims, which you always lead with, of course. Now, Izzo was correct. He has cooperated with all the investigations that I'm aware of.
And Friday night, he did say, I want to be there to be a part of the healing for the survivors.
Which is possible. Now, if you're part of the problem, I don't know if you're part of the healing, that will be determined. Mm-hmm. If they've determined that he has done what has been asked of him, then perhaps he can't be. Now, if that is possible, I will say this with a gigantic qualifier that if that's possible or not, I don't know. We don't know enough right now. But Izzo is the kind of guy who could rally the university behind the whole community in a way that no one else could to a solution, to serious reforms, serious changes. Again, I don't know if that's possible, if he's tainted too much for that or not. We will find out as things move forward. I would make a distinction between Izzo's situation and D'Antonio's. As far as I know, Coach Izzo's got three situations to answer for. One, is, of course, is Travis Walton, the one being discussed. Also, Adrian Payne and Keith Appling were both part of an incident with a woman that looks horrible.
Two alleged incidents.
Exactly.
That we're hearing. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what happened there will be a question worth answering for sure. We don't know about that. In D'Antonio's case, he has a 10-year pattern of 16 players accused of sexual assault over this stretch. I'm not dismissing in any way Izzo's situation, but it seems to be at least contained. Now, how bad that is, we're going to find out. I don't see D'Antonio's as contained. I see it as a pattern that has been rolling out for a decade, class after class. And that, to me, is a different situation. Now, again, that might not save Izzo. Maybe it shouldn't. But I don't see them as quite in the same basket.
And the NCAA says it's coming in to open an investigation at MSU. You have been very consistent over the years, John, about your lack of confidence in the NCAA's ability to hold universities accountable.
Lord help us all. Look, they don't do their own job very well. They're not going to do the FBI's job very well. In the Baylor basketball situation, a player murdered another player. They stayed away. UVA lacrosse, a boyfriend killed his girlfriend, both on the lacrosse teams and no investigation, which actually I think is correct in this case because the NCAA adjudicates on cream cheese or butter on a bagel doesn't make it a meal. I don't want these people looking into pedophilia, murders, these things. They're utterly ill-equipped to do their own job, let alone this job. Penn State, of course, they got in based on public pressure. Now public pressure is on them to get into Michigan State, so they're going to do it. And they were told of this in 2010, we have since learned. Mark Emmert, of course, the president of the NCAA, was told of this and ignored it. So now he's going to come in on his white horse. I don't buy any of this. However, Joel Ferguson, longtime trustee of Michigan State, brought this on his alma mater by saying they are not competent enough to investigate us. Well, apparently they heard him because 24 hours later, they decided that they were, in fact, competent enough. I agree with him. They're not. But you brought it on yourself now, and this is one more mess you're going to deal with. The NCAA is going to make this worse, not better.
I'm thinking about when I read your book, Fourth and Long. You took such deep dives into the athletic programs at four Big Ten schools, including Penn State, right after the whole Jerry Sandusky scandal. What has all of this that's been building now in East Lansing say to you about big college sports programs and accountability for student athletes?
We have not learned nearly enough from the Catholic Church scandal, from the Penn State scandal, and now from this one. And that is when somebody tells you about assault, you don't hem and haw, you don't tell them how tough it's going to be for them going forward, you take action. It is the law. It is not only a moral principle, it is the law. And there will be some people here, I think, might be going to jail based on this, and if so, let the chips fall. Because 14 people we know were told about what Dr. Nasser had done to them by the athletes themselves, and little or no action was taken. That's Kim Kozlowski of the Detroit News. Hats off for her for great reporting. So we have learned very little. Two big mistakes can happen from here. One on the Michigan State side is you circle the wagons, you deny, 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 which they've already done. They've blocked a lot of FOIA requests. Things like that.
Fighting the civil suit.
Fighting the civil suit. No, you're not here to fight anything. You're here to help the victims, to solve your own problem in your own house. And anything else you're going to do is going to drag it out, and it's going to make it worse and more expensive is my guess. That's one mistake. The opposite mistake is on the outside of the, you know, the media, the public, and so on. The whole burn it all down. They're all corrupt. They're all horrible. No, far from the case. Your daughter went to Michigan State. People I know there have had a uniformly excellent experience. Now, that's not everyone, apparently. We know this now. But the idea of burning it all down is crazy, and don't blame everybody. Cooler heads now need to prevail in the investigation.
Yeah, so how do we make sure coaches like Izzo and D'Antonio get a chance, get the opportunity to answer questions, defend the way they've handled their programs, while also holding them accountable?
You need a proper investigation. Now, on that front, we now have Attorney General Bill Schuette involved. I'm not optimistic. He is running for governor. He's going to wash the political winds. He's already stayed out of this for a very long time. And Gretchen Whitmer is now talking tough, his main opponent, it looks like, from the Democratic side. She was not talking tough when she had a chance to do something about this a few years ago.
Meaning when she was in the Ingham County Prosecutor's
Office. Exactly right. So I have very little faith in either one of them to play anything other than politics with this. You need the FBI. You need somebody, a third party from the outside, to do a serious job on this.
What kind of ripple effect, John, do you think this is going to have in college athletics around the country? Or, better put, should it have?
Two, one good, one bad. The good one, of course, is that guess what? When athletes tell you these things, take action. When your athletes are involved in these things as the perpetrators, take action. Give it over to law enforcement. Don't try to get cute or funny. Don't deal with just campus police. Get serious law enforcement help, and it's someone else's issue at that point. It really is. In terms of it's their investigation, not yours. Second thing it's going to do is tell the bad guys out there how to smother this thing even deeper, to pass the buck, blame the assistant coach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's already happening, of course, with paying players and whatnot. The head coaches know how to keep their hands off these things. You're going to see more of that cynically in the future.
Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubank. Thanks, John.
Thank you.